Okay, last public session of the conference is the second motion on a shared future, and it is going to be proposed by Stephen Martin, who's a candidate in the Lagan Valley constituency, and it will be seconded by Harry Hamilton of the Upper Ban constituency. And if Stephen can get ready, I will read the motion. Conference recognises the critical importance of a shared future towards achieving economic prosperity and addressing social deprivation. Conference further recognises that managing a divided society has a detrimental impact on our public sector finances and limits our ability to invest in the measures that create growth and stability within our economy. Conference, therefore, A, demands that the executive puts in place a robust strategy to promote a shared society, and B, calls for a substantial redraft of the draft programme for cohesion, sharing and integration to reflect a true commitment to the development of a shared society across government. Stephen Martin. Thank you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, conference. And can I say how wonderfully organised this conference has been today? I think everybody can agree that the whole day has been a fantastic event. And I have to pay tribute to the President and the Chair and all the staff that have been running around today, making sure everything worked sublimely. I need to congratulate you on that. Thank you very much. I am delighted to be able to propose this motion today on how Alliance would strengthen and take forward shared future issues. Alliance has been leading change since 1970, advocating the benefits of a shared future for all. Alliance has always had what President George Bush Sr. called the vision thing. We always stood for a cohesive, shared and integrated society where people are safe and prosperous, have access to ample opportunities, and are treated fairly and with respect. We want to deliver a civic society underpinned by shared values of equality, respect for diversity, and interdependence. We are the shared future crowd, but we do not own that vision. It is a vision we want everyone to passionately get behind and use to bring down any and all barriers that prevent us from unlocking this society's potential. However, talk can sometimes be hollow. There are those who recognise that a shared future for all is what the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland want to see and will happily co-opt shared future language while continuing with their separate but equal strategy. Alliance will challenge everyone in a constructive manner to tackle sacred cows within public policy to ensure your views on shared future are at the forefront of their future development. In that context, the draft CSI document is seriously lacking in substance and detail. Its existence at all is down to the hard work of our party leader and the Assembly team at Stormont in the negotiations around the devolution of policing and justice. However, the draft report does not do what it says on the tin. But it should, and it must. I have only 5 minutes today, but if you give me 5 hours, I wouldn't be able to scratch the surface of the task in front of us. This is a generational, long battle to change our circumstances, but we must get out of the starting gate on the right track. I would ask that laser-like focus be given to the following issues, which seriously lack the detail within the document. One. Within the draft document, there is no acknowledgement of the economic, human, social and environmental costs of division. This party has always stood and always advocated for tackling the cost of division, and within this document, there is a lack of detail and vision on that issue. Two, the negative view within the report of the role of young people within society. Three, the absence of an effort to deal with the legacy of the past, for we cannot have a shared future without tackling the issues that happened, looking back at where we have come from. This all seems a bit technical, a bit nothing to do with me, but I want to say this. The costs of division affect us all. While we are faced with the economic downturn and the turmoil that has engulfed all of the Western economies in recent times, we all know people We all know family members, we all know friends who have been dealt a heavy blow by the economic circumstances. This is a time where creative thinking and out-of-the-box solutions will assist us in ensuring that Northern Ireland is well-placed for a future of prosperity. This is why shared future is important. Simply put, division costs money. Money we could do well with to ensure in services and invest in infrastructure to build a prosperous economy. We deserve a future free of the stains of hatred and bigotry. We deserve better. Conference, if you indulge me a moment, I want to reflect on personally on where we are today on CSI. My girlfriend is sitting in the audience this afternoon, and she'll be scundered that I am even referencing her. One day, I want kids. That will become a shock to Joanna. I want the best for my kids, and I never want them to ever have to consider difference as something as a bad thing. Alliance knows all about diversity. I've been to many party conferences to understand that we have a lot of diversity of views within our party. Northern Ireland would thrive by embracing diversity and embracing a shared future. I want our generation, the generation that is coming up and is evident in the hall today and around conference, the young people and the not so young people who have now engaged in politics over the last number of years, to answer Alliance's call led by David Ford and Naomi Long to take up, I wouldn't say arms, but the arms of ideas, to take on the legacy that has been bestowed to us. The generation of politicians before have given us Good Friday, have given us devolution. We now need to take those tools and act on them and ensure that shared future is at the heart of everything that we do going forward. Thank you, conference.
Before we come from the seconder of the motion, can I ask, does anyone from the floor wish to speak for or against this motion? One speaker, could I suggest you maybe for rather than against? Okay, then we will have one speaker after this, and the seconder then is Harry Hamilton, and I do believe this is his maiden speech to this assembly from the Upper Ban constituency. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, conference. First of all, I'd just like to thank you all for the warm welcome that I have received here today and the welcome that I've had over this last few days since I joined the party. And it is a real pleasure to stand here in front of you and to give a short speech on this very important issue. Anyway, it is my belief that we are living in a contaminated political environment. The political landscape of Northern Ireland is built on two politically positions, are built on two opposing political positions, and the draft programme for cohesion, sharing and integration fails to set out an effective programme to eliminate the fault lines that exist within our political process. Here we have the desire for inclusive government, but at the expense of effective government. It is an environment where the ordinary citizen is being held to ransom by our new political elite. We deserve better. The people are being let down, and these people have failed us. We need effective leadership, leadership that is not afraid to open debate and allow the evolution of a shared future with common goals and a genuine aspiration of a better future for all. I seek to create a society which reflects and rejoices in the differences within it, a tolerant society which recognises the pace of change in the world in which we live. Northern Ireland is facing change, and this change needs to be managed. We need to embrace the future and ensure that we don't create through neglect an even more polarised and divided society than we have had to endure for so long. For too many years, politicians have stood up and said what they thought people wanted to hear. It was easy to make such statements, as no one ever had the responsibility for doing anything. Now politicians have to deliver on the promises made during election campaigns. Now more than ever, there's a real power and the ability to make real change. A nation that fails to promote its citizens' true expressions of community and solidarity can have no future as a single unity. So I support the calls for a substantial redraft of the draft programme for cohesion, sharing and integration to reflect a true commitment to the development of a shared society across government. The current draft falls well short of the concepts of cohesion, ensuring and integration that we need to reverse the division that exists in Northern Ireland. There is no attempt to define these concepts or relate to them in other critical concepts such as reconciliation or interdependence. We can no longer deal in the abstract and the aspirational. We need clear objectives, which are strategic in its goals, both realistic and achievable, and in clearly measurable in its delivery. We need this so we can not only manage, but to be seen to manage this vital piece of reform. Sorry, this is stuck together. The current draft has been described as a benign apartheid, but this is obviously a contradiction in terms. We have a choice. Are we going to be bystanders in the social development of Northern Ireland? Are we going to face up to the responsibility of delivering real leadership? I believe it is the responsibility of a political party to represent the interests of the people and to develop policies, strategies, and a vision of how the mechanism of government can be employed to the greatest benefit of the people. The executive has a fundamental responsibility to engage in the politics that brings us together, not the politics that pushes us apart. People do not vote for new government proposals. People vote for the benefits of government proposals. We must sell the benefits of a shared future. The cost saving in a time of restricted spending, allowing more time to be spent in frontline public services, and the removal of the causes of conflict, because the dissidents exploit division and they feed on mistrust. We must challenge prejudice and misguided certainties and create a confidence in the values of our shared cultural identity. This programme is central to our future, and it will colour and influence the social landscape of this country for the next 10 years. And it is simply not good enough for the issue to be ducked, watered down, or brushed under the carpet with vague language and even more oblique targets. It has been written in perfunctory, politically bilingual stalemate, but what it needs is the draft needs to be rewritten with more boldness, ambition, clear language, and a real sense of purpose. I propose that we adopt the motion. Thank you.
And now, in support of the motion, Councillor Maura Hendren, Belfast City Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Conference. When I was elected to Belfast City Council for the Pottinger area, it was perceived, and it is perceived, that Pottinger has some of the most extreme Republican and some of the most extreme loyalist areas of Belfast. It also has some of the most socially deprived areas in Belfast. And the night I was elected, I said that I would represent all the people of the area in which I was going to be an elected representative. And I can honestly put my heart and my hand on my heart and say, I really didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know what I had let myself in for. On the Monday morning, I remember saying to Jim, where do I start? Where will I go? And being a true Alliance person, I got out there and started to work in Pottinger. And today, I can honestly say there is not an area of the Pottinger constituency that I am not known in and that I wouldn't go into. I have worked hard to gain the respect of the people in those areas, and I honestly think I have it. On the council, I chair the Good Relations Partnership. And this is a body of councillors and outside bodies who are charged with administering European peace money. And in that role, I've had the opportunity to visit many organisations, many communities in Belfast who are genuinely working hard to make friends, to work with their neighbours, and to create a shared society. I have visited projects on peace lines. I have launched a booklet which was written by both Republic and Loyalist prisoners. I have had the experience of lots of these events. And I must say, it's very heartening. On the other hand, when I'm chair, as a chair of the Good Relations Partnership, I also chair the Memorabilia Committee. The Memorabilia Committee is a committee which works with our elected representatives to create a balance in the City Hall, and that is a different organization altogether. I have to say that if we're going to create a shared society, we have to work from the bottom up. We have to work with the people out there who are light years ahead of our politicians. They are open to change, they are willing to change, and they want to change. This motion demands that the executive puts in place a robust strategy. Has it not occurred to people here that a lot, present company accepted, of the executive are deaf? And those who aren't deaf are too slow to take on board anything that the community wants. And I say to the Alliance activists, get out there into the communities. Get involved with what's going on. That's where you're going to create the shared society, not by legislation from the Assembly. But I do feel that if we have to have something on paper, that this document that was produced certainly needs to be rewritten. Thank you, Conference.
Thank you very much, Maura. Okay, you've heard the motion. Sorry, in the absence of anyone wishing to speak against it?
I'm not against it, but
do you want to speak for it?
Yes.
You have 60 seconds.
From here?
No, you'll do it from up here so everybody hears your words. Your words are too valuable to go on here. This is the prize-winning Deborah Gurr.
I just want to say one of the reasons I joined the Alliance Party because of its belief in a shared future. But I sort of see three ways where we really need to work at and to keep pushing all the time the politicians and anybody we're speaking to, particularly when we're out campaigning. Integrated education, where I worked for the Northern Ireland Council for Integrated Education for about 8 years, I could see the benefits of bringing children together at such an early age where they were learning to build friendship, respect and trust. And that's a key word, is building trust between our communities. And it's not just the children, it's bringing the parents together at the school gates. It is bringing teachers from both sides of the community, the religious divide. It's bringing the Board of Governors, which are mixed as well. So that is one of the key areas which we must continue to push for shared education or integrated education. The second way is mixed housing. We have such a divided society in Northern Ireland. We all live separately. I remember when we were trying to build a school in Macrofelt. Macrofelt was deemed as one of the district electoral areas, which was actually 50-50. 50% Protestant, 50% Catholic. There's very few other district electoral areas which are like are so mixed. But within Macrofelt itself, people lived in different streets. There's very little mixing within the actual areas. You know, you had Protestant sections, you had Catholic sections. And the only part in Belfast which is actually religiously mixed is a ribbon down the Ligon, Rosetta, and up the Ormer Road. Everywhere else is very divided. So we need to build more mixed housing, and that's another area we need to put into. The other key area I see is in community relations. We talked earlier on about building relationships between people. You can't do that if we're living in such a divided society. Community relations to me is every single person up on that hill in Stormont should be put through a community relations training where they learn to understand, respect, difference, and to be more tolerant to others. So that's where I would be putting my money, integrated education, into mixed housing and in community relations at grassroots level, what Mary's talking about. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deborah. It may have been Deborah when she worked in for the Council for Integrated Education some years ago. Somebody said to me that they regularly had journalists coming from overseas who would call along to see them and hear about integrated education. And she said, this happened so many times. They had this foreign journalist talking, tell me about Northern Ireland and tell me about the schools. And so they would start to explain it. And then after a while, the journalist would say, hold on, you mean half the population goes to one set of schools and half the population goes to the other set of schools? Is that right? And whoever it was in this country would say, yeah, that's about it. 7% of schools are now formally integrated, but the rest are divided. And then the journalists would universally say, now I understand why Northern Ireland is the way it is. So, can I call then for a show of hands in favour of the motion that you've heard? Those in favour, please show. Thank you very much. Anyone against? Any abstentions? No, carried unanimously. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Well, that brings us now to the end of the public section of the conference.